that concept. Repent and believe. First of all, I want to turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, verse 19 and 20. This is the Apostle Paul talking to King Agrippa. He says to King Agrippa, "So, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring both to those of Damascus first and also at Jerusalem and then through all the region of Judea and even to the Gentiles." This is the Apostle Paul's message. Listen to his message. That they should repent and turn to God and perform deeds appropriate to repentance. Repent and turn to God. Repent and turn to God and trust in Jesus Christ. Believe in him and your sins will be forgiven and you will be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, what are the fruit of repentance? What are the deeds of repentance? John helps us to understand that, I think, in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to begin in verse number 1, and then as we read through this section, we'll see the deeds of repentance. Verse number 1, 1 John verse number 1, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him." See how great a love the Father has bestowed on those who are baptized? See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon all of us? What is this great love that we should be called children of God? Amen. Children of God. Genesis 1:1 starts out, "In the beginning, God." You know, that is something our culture does not comprehend. The existence of God. In the beginning, God. He was there before the beginning. In the beginning, God. One of those that were baptized mentioned Awana. I can't remember which one it was. But I remember teaching Awana, one of the very first verses that we taught the little children. Awana is a program for little children. One of the first verses we taught was Psalm 100, verse number 3. "Know therefore that the Lord, he is God, and it is he who has made us, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture." One of the reasons so many people are missing out on the glories and the beauty and the wonders of salvation is they have a miscued vision, a miscued idea of who God is. For the most part, our culture doesn't even accept the reality of God. But he was there from the beginning. He's the source of all things. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We like to live our lives as if we are our own captain. We are our own boss. We're independent of anybody. We made ourselves. No, God made us. And as I taught that verse to little children, I would often use this example. I would talk to them, and it was many, many years ago. So at that time, little children were playing with Lincoln Logs and Tinker Toys. So I would talk to the little children. I says, "Now, if you made a castle, or if you made a log cabin out of Lincoln Logs, do you have a right to tear that apart and destroy it?" They said, "Yes." "Do I have a right to tear that apart and destroy it?" "No." Why is that? Because they made it. God made us. He has a right to do with us what he wants to do. He has a right to establish how it is that we can please him, to establish how it is we are to live before him. And he has established rules and laws that we are to follow. And when we don't follow them, when we disobey them, God has the right to determine what the punishment is. And the punishment is death. But God is not a despot ruler. He's a kind and gracious and loving ruler. He planned, he determined, he put together a way that our sins can be forgiven. So he sent his son, and his son was in full agreement to come to this earth, to take on humanity, and to go to the cross and bear the sins of the sinners, receive their punishment, so that when those sinners put faith in Jesus Christ, when they repent and put faith in Jesus Christ, they can be made right with God. Their sins can be forgiven, and they become children of God. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are called. Children of God. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. We know we're not perfect children of God. We know we don't look perfectly. We know we don't act perfectly. We know we still have sin. But we know when Jesus Christ appears, and he's coming back again. We'll see that in our communion. He's coming back again. When he comes back again, he's going to make us just like him. There will be no sin left within us. We have that hope. And how is it that Christians live their lives in light of that hope? John says, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself, for he is pure. There's the deeds of repentance. We live our lives constantly trying to overcome our sin, not so that we can be made more right with God. I'm as perfect with God as I'll ever become. I'm clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When God sees me, he sees his son. I want to purify myself. I want to become more like what God sees me because I love him. I love him because he loves me, and he showed me how much he loves me when he sent his son to die on the cross for my sins. John goes on. He says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. That is not the deeds of repentance. Practicing sin and practicing lawlessness is not the deeds of repentance. You may have put faith in Jesus Christ, but you continue to practice sin. That is not the deeds of repentance. Verse 5, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him, no one who has a solidarity reunion with Christ sins, and he's talking here about the ongoing practice of sin, no one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. Now listen to this. Don't be deceived. Many will tell you, just put faith in Jesus Christ and live your life any way you want. You're fine. You're good to go. There's also going to be many come judgment day that are going to be told, depart from me, I never knew you, workers of wickedness. It's also said that the road to destruction is wide and many are upon it. Don't be deceived. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. What's the practice of your life? What is the bent of your life? Are you practicing righteousness or are you practicing sin? When you look at your day, when you look at how you lived your day, did you practice sin or did you practice righteousness? As you look at your week, as you look at your month, as you look at your year, do you see yourself practicing righteousness more and more? And why do we practice? Because we're not perfect. The one who's perfect doesn't need to practice. So we know we're not perfect. We're not talking about perfection. It's just the bent of my life. Am I constantly trying to overcome sin or am I indifferent to my sin? If I'm indifferent to my sin, I'm not producing the deeds of repentance. You must repent and believe. Verse 9, no one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. If you have been baptized into Christ Jesus, you have a union with him, and you have died to the slavery of sin, and you live a life unto God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit within you. And so you cannot believe without having a desire to repent. You must repent and then believe. The Apostle Paul also talks about the importance of this repentance in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I'm sorry, it's Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Paul here is teaching to people who are striving to know God. They talked about God. And he has this to say about God. He says, therefore, having overlooked times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. God is declaring to men and to all people everywhere they should repent. How is he doing that? Well, he's doing it right now. As I, a simple, finite, sinful human being, read his word, God is calling upon everyone in this room to repent. Repent. Why? because he, God, has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. There's going to come a time when God is going to make a judgment, and it will be a righteous judgment. He will know whether you have repented or not. He will know whether you have trusted in Jesus Christ or not. He will know whether you have been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ or not. Jesus Christ is going to be the standard. Come judgment day, Jesus Christ is going to be the standard. Absolute perfection is going to be the standard. Have you obtained absolute perfection by repenting and believing in Jesus Christ? When you repent of your sins and you believe in Jesus Christ and you are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, now you have absolute perfection in the eyes of God. You're still a sinner, but in the eyes of God, you're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You have an alien righteousness. And he will see you, and he will judge you as he sees and judges his son. And as Cohen said, from the waters of baptism, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is eternal life. That is quality of life. Living the rest of your life knowing that no matter what, you are right with God. No matter what trial you go through, no matter what difficulty you go through, this is what Michelle's talking about. As she goes through the difficulties of God, it's through the strength of God. It's through the strength of his life and his love that one is able to live through this life. I want to just share with you a few more words that I think really describe what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. You are to repent and you are to believe. I want to begin here, first of all, in Romans chapter 10. Verse number 9, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are preaching. It's near you. It's right there. You've heard it. Faith in Jesus Christ. It is right there. You hear it. Now, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from your dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth right now, you don't have to shout it out, but you have to say it. You can't just think it. Say it. Jesus Christ is Lord. What does that mean? That means I will follow him. That means I will obey him. How can I follow him and obey him if I don't repent? Confessing Jesus as Lord is synonymous with repenting. You repent and you follow Jesus Christ as Lord. Confess him as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Believe in him, trust him, treasure him, put your life in his hand. Believe in him. The word there literally is into. Believe into Jesus Christ, and you will not be disappointed. Verse 13, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on the name of the Lord. What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? It is to recognize that he is all who he said he was. He said that he is the Son of God. He said that he came to die for the sins of men. He said that faith in him will make one right with God. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in all who he said he was. One of the ones that were baptized, and again, I can't remember which one it was. They quoted Acts chapter 4, and I think it's verse 12. For there's no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. There is no other way. There's only one way. The way to eternal life, the gate is narrow, and the way is narrow. There's only one way. It's to trust in Jesus Christ and to trust in him alone. To trust his righteousness and his righteousness alone and none of your own righteousness, none of your own good behavior. You put no faith in what you can do, what you have said, what you have prayed. You put no faith in yourself. It's all in Christ Jesus. Let me pray, and then we'll go into our communion service. Great God Almighty, we declare you to be the Savior of mankind. We confess and we understand that it is only by the work of the Holy Spirit that anyone has ever come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. It is He who transfers people out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of your beloved Son. So, Father, our prayer at this point in our day is simply, would you not be pleased to extend the long arm of your mercy and send your Spirit into this room and cause those who are dead in their sins to be alive in Jesus Christ. Cause those who do not trust Jesus Christ unto salvation to trust in Jesus Christ unto salvation. Give them the faith, give them the gift, not of just the faith, but give them the gift of believing. Give them the gift of believing. For by grace we have been saved through faith, and that is not of ourselves. It is your gift to sinful humanity. Be praised and honored and glorified today, Almighty God, through the salvation of those who are still lost in their sins. We pray in Christ's holy name.